And today, it's our session of School News, and we have a special guest joining us. School News, a program that we're offering to provide news and information about what's happening at the Napa Valley Unified School District. And today, we get to meet someone who's going to tell us about NOSH. You're going to learn more in just a moment with Brandy Dreibelbus joining us here in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You're used to being up early, though.
Oh, yes.
And you got up early even on a day when you didn't have to work. I appreciate that. So tell us about yourself, first of all. Where are you from? All that kind of thing.
Well, I moved to Napa Valley about a year and a half ago from Boulder, Colorado, where I was the executive chef of the Boulder Valley School District for 8 years prior to this. We were really leading the country as far as healthy school food is concerned in Boulder, Colorado. But I'm originally from the East Coast, grew up in Pennsylvania, moved to Colorado at age 30.
Uh-huh. And so have you been in food for some time?
Been in food for quite a while. I have a Bachelor of Science in Hotel Restaurant Management and also a degree in Culinary Arts. Did the restaurant thing back east. Originally moved to Colorado to be the executive chef for Whole Foods, one of the top Whole Foods in the country, which led me to the school district in Boulder. They were undergoing a large fundraising campaign to overhaul school food in Boulder, Colorado, and really create this model program. So I became a part of that from day one.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Why would you choose not to be in the exciting, high-profile world of the restaurant trade and work for making food for kids, for school kids?
Well, I came here because I was looking for a challenge. I had turned 40 and, was just looking for a change. I thought the Napa Valley would be a wonderful place to live. And I feel that school food is super important. It's really important that we're, feeding our kids the best food possible so that they're getting a good start from early on and carrying with them that throughout their life.
So let's start from a kind of a fundamental question. There's been more talk probably about the nature of the school food in the last 10, 15 years than any time before. Right, ever. Suddenly people are talking about it and related things like the sugary drink diet and the obesity epidemic, and it's all become kind of part of the same topic. So we have to go back a step and say what has been wrong with what we've been serving to kids in school environments in the past?
I think there's a lot of challenges in school food. One of the main challenges is my costing allocations. I have about $1.25 to spend per meal per child per day. And with that $1.25, I have to hit five components that the USDA requires in order for it to be considered a reimbursable meal. So that's a protein, a whole grain, a fruit and or vegetable, and 8 ounces of milk. So it's super challenging in order to hit those guidelines and keep within your costing allocations, and at the same time planning a menu that's something that's enticing to school children, and also trying to do that in the best possible way, which what I mean by that is purchasing the best ingredients possible. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of challenges in school food. Unfortunately, I think many years ago, the switch became to kind of a heat and serve method in school foods, where employees were really just kind of opening boxes and heating stuff in the oven. A lot of, processed food, high sugary foods, big food got involved and they marketed to school food, and that's what we ended up with. But over the last couple of years, there's been a huge interest in changing that, because I think we're starting to realize like how important it is to feed our kids the healthiest food possible throughout the day. It's just tied to so many different things, better academic performance, better mental cognition, better attendance rates, better behavior issues, better athletic performance. It's all tied to what kids are eating, and it's so important that we're taking care of them while they're at school.
Mm-hmm. And, let's face it, as adults, we have a struggle eating what's right for us. So it's hard to expect kids to eat what's right for them.
Sure.
We're not helping them if we give them something, that's semi-bad to begin with.
Right. Right. That's why I feel like if you can get the kids at a younger age and kind of transition them into a healthier eating and give them you know, educate them on the nutrition piece as to why they're eating better and why it's important for them, they'll carry that with them.
Mm-hmm. So I can, when you put it into a cost context, it's easy to understand. If you're trying to hit that buck and a quarter, that prepackaged, warm it up, I mean, the scale of the big companies, right? Mm-hmm. That's what school districts were buying into. How do you conquer that problem today? What's the approach today to meet that goal and not be serving something that's, like you say, from big food?
So school districts receive commodity allocations, and you know, a lot of school districts throughout the years have used that money to kind of purchase a lower quality protein. I use that money to purchase things like canned beans, canned tomato sauce, liquid eggs. I use that money to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables through a USDA pilot program. And then I'm spending more money on higher quality proteins. I'm purchasing hormone and antibiotic-free chicken on the bone from Foster Farms in the Central Valley. I'm purchasing hormone and antibiotic-free non-GMO organic beef burgers from a company in Marin County. So I'm just kind of trying to find a menu mix that, you know, falls into line using my commodities appropriately. We have salad bars in all of our schools. Salad bars are a big part of my program. We use them as part of the reimbursable meal, which means the kids are required to take something from the salad bar. So I'm hitting my fruit and vegetable piece there. And I'm using my commodity dollars to purchase almost all of my vegetables throughout the whole school year for our salad bars.
Hmm. So you're buying things relatively locally, regionally.
Try to as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of my philosophy too, is to support the local vendors and develop relationships with them so that, you know, they want to work with you as well. You know, the amount of food that we're serving throughout the day, we're serving on average about 8,000 meals. That's breakfast and lunch combined. So working with vendors and giving them projections on the amount of food that we would be buying for them kind of helps with the costing as well.
Mm-hmm. 8,000 meals a day.
Yes.
Wow. Think about it. So where does all the prep take place? Where does the cooking take place?
So we've got kind of a hybrid model going on. All of our secondary schools in the Napa Valley School District, which would be the middle schools and the high schools, are cooking for themselves. They're standalone sites. The staff in those eight kitchens are cooking for themselves. And then I have an elementary cooking kitchen, which is actually right down the road here at Ridgeview Kitchen, and they're cooking for all of the elementary schools. However, we, through Measure H, are opening a new central kitchen sometime in the next 3 weeks. Really exciting. It's going to be in the old Napa Armory building, which the school district had owned. It's been sitting vacant for a number of years right next to Memorial Stadium.
Oh, okay, sure.
So it's centrally located. It's a standalone building. That's going to be our new elementary cooking facility. The site that we're in now is pretty dark and dreary. It was never really designed to be a kitchen, but, you know, we've been limping through with that. So this is going to be a new state-of-the-art kitchen. We're going to have very modern equipment in there, which is going to help us become more efficient. I think we'll be able to expand our menu some. And also, I think it's going to be really great for the morale of my staff. I mean, who wouldn't want to work in a shiny new facility? That building will also house it's going to be our food warehouse for the whole entire district. So all of our food will be stored there. And then also the food services offices will move to that location as well. So we're really looking forward to getting that open.
Yeah, I just was driving down that street the other day for some reason, and I was looking at that property and wondering what was going on there.
Yeah,
so
that's it.
Renovation. Yep. Happening. Very good. How many people work in the food service division for the schools?
So I have 80 employees, a wonderful team of 80, and you know, they're really the ones who are out on the lines every day doing the hard work for us.
Yeah. So when you're cooking, you said elementary kitchen. Mm-hmm. That means that food's prepared and then it's trucked out to all the sites?
It is. And that's another one of the challenges here. We've got numerous challenges in the district. I kind of inherited this setup where there's 19 schools that have no kitchens whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is there's no heating elements, no ovens, no steam wells. Most of them don't even have triple sinks. So by law, we can't even wash a dish. So we're driving dirty dishes back and forth throughout the school district. So also through Measure H, there is bond money to remodel 15 of those kitchens. We opened our first one in January. It was at Willow Elementary School, which is a completely new school. So that will be a finishing kitchen. So what will happen throughout the next 2 years as we transition to this is the food will still be assembled and prepped in the central kitchen. It will be shipped out cold, and then it will be finished on site. So the food will be fresher. You know, it'll look better. It'll be better for food quality purposes. Right now, we have to ship the food out hot, and it sits in a hot box for a few hours, and it's just not great for anything about it. Not great for food quality, not great for food safety. But there's really no other way to do it. So we do have a plan to fix that up.
So those elementary schools must have been built in that time and with that mentality that food service would always come from the outside.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and the school district did, too. I think it's important to know that our school district did outsource the food services department for over 3 decades. I've just been here for a year and a half, and we just became officially self-operated this past July. Mm-hmm. So it's really only been about 7 months. So we've really overhauled the whole program and come a long way in the last year and a half. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're doing good things.
That's pretty amazing, really, to have that big of an operation changed that much. After such a long period of doing it the same way. That's fascinating. To what degree was the school district influenced, I started to say pressured, because I'm thinking about how different parents think about nutrition and people in general think about nutrition and what they eat these days. Has there been a lot of conversation?
That's how this whole overhaul really began. There was a push from a very active and vocal group of parents for 7 years prior to actually making the push to remove the food services management company and to hire a food services director and to make the program self-op. So, you know, I wouldn't have come here if I wasn't aware that there was support from a group of parents. I think it's so important. They're truly my advocates and, you know, a big piece of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. So is this a common trend? Are we seeing this in other school districts?
I think so. I think, you know, there's more awareness now about, you know, all the things that eating better are tied to. We've seen in the last 10 years the diabetes rate in children increase. Napa County, believe it or not, has the highest obesity and childhood cancer rate in the Bay Area. So I think as more people become aware of this, you know, there's more of a push to feed our kids better food.
Mm, absolutely. So, you know, you can't have a party for 6 people these days without a long process of what do you eat and what do you not eat? Are you allergic to anything? And all. We have situations where someone says, I'd like to bring cupcakes for everybody or snacks, and don't bring any peanuts, don't bring any strawberry. You know, you've got this whole process, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not sure what just happened there. In any event, some extraneous sound. Ignore that. Point I was getting to is it's difficult for us just on a small scale. You have responsibility for 8,000 meals and making sure that people are getting what they want. And sometimes it's not a question of want but need in the case of allergies and so forth. But then you have like dietary restriction people who don't want their kids maybe to eat meat and so on and so forth. How do you cope with all of that and the interaction of foods in the kitchen and all these other things?
So the way I have my menu designed is we have 2 main items in each of our 28 schools every day. They follow the same menu, and one of those items is a vegetarian item every day. It's a 6-week cycle menu, and a handful of those vegetarian items do fall into the vegan category. It's hard to have a vegan item that hits the USDA guidelines, but we do offer a vegetarian item every day. We also have a salad bar, which is an option, which is truly like a 4th menu item in some of our schools. And our salad bars are always gluten-free, including our salad dressing. All of our nutrition items are up on the web, and our menu is completely peanut-free. I feel that that's a really important thing with children these days.
Mm-hmm. Can't take a chance.
Yeah.
How have parents reacted to this?
I think we have some really great supportive parents, and then I think we have a lot of parents that are still not completely aware or trusting what we've done in the school district. You know, we have done a lot in a short amount of time, and I think that that's one of the messages that I want to get out today is just making people aware of all of the changes. You know, we are cooking from scratch again. We have really transformed our menu. We're doing good food, and I think that there's a lot of people that aren't aware of that. And at the same time, I really want to push for participation increases. In school food, the name of the game is really participation. The more kids that eat, the more we'll be able to make our program sustainable, to be able to do more things. And to keep a program like this in the Napa Valley, we really need more kids to eat school lunch. So I think that there's a couple different groups of people that I want to appeal to. The busy moms who are tired of packing a school lunch every day, or maybe just don't have time to pack their kids' school lunch, you know, ensure that your kids would eat a healthy lunch if they were buying into our school lunch program. And then also the Napa Valley, as our enrollment declines overall, our free and reduced rate is increasing. So we know we have a lot of food insecure families. We want to take care of these families. We feed these kids for free. We just want to feed them, you know.
What do you mean when you say food insecure?
Food insecure, I believe that these are families in our area that are dependent upon programs like the National School Lunch and Breakfast Program to feed their children. They're relying on places like the food bank to get their weekly groceries. They're food insecure. They just don't have enough money to be purchasing healthy food for their families. And that's why we're here. That's why we have the free and reduced breakfast, or free and reduced breakfast and lunch program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do schools still have milk break?
I didn't know what milk break was until I came here, and then I slowly learned that it's another term for breakfast. Although we call it breakfast because we're getting reimbursed for breakfast and we're serving breakfast items. Sometimes it is after the bell, which is really beneficial because we're feeding more kids then because the kids are in school. But we do have some schools who still use the term milk break. Yes.
I was thinking back to school when I was there 1,000 years ago, and the emphasis on milk was so extreme.
Yeah.
One of the big deals when you got to junior high, you could get milk shakes in the lunchroom.
We definitely don't serve milk break,
right?
Or milkshakes, but we do offer milk with all of our meals. It's one, like I mentioned, it's one of the USDA requirements, so we have to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't serve chocolate milk anymore either. Long
yeah,
gone,
right?
Is that.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
The kind of things people would choose once they got to the point where you could choose it was junior high then, junior high and senior high. And, you know, so your lunch could be a milkshake and a piece of pizza, or some people would have like 4 or 5 hot rolls, you know. And it was just bizarre, you know, that things people – I was more of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich person. You know, I felt like there was some balance there, but I don't know. Probably the first place I ever had a microwave hamburger, too, was at a high school cafeteria. What's the challenge going forward? I would think that in a place like Napa, where there's such a focus on food, you probably get a lot of advice from a lot of different people about the way things ought to be.
Yeah,
I touched
that's
the nerve,
the thing about
I?
Food is I think everybody has an opinion,
right?
And sometimes it's not so good to hear. But
mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why we branded our program over the past year. So we're calling our program NOSH. NOSH is actually an acronym. It stands for Napa's Operative for School Food Health. I chose NOSH because I feel like NOSH is a foodie term. Napa is such a foodie town, and at the end of the day, I really want our food services department to be part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. That makes really good sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody has an opinion about the way it ought to be raised and the way it ought to be made.
Right. And I think branding your program, too, is just a way to create awareness to the fact that we're not the same old school food program.
Sure.
You know, we're doing something better and we're doing something new.
Yeah. The questions you mentioned, or the points you made about increases in childhood obesity and the diabetes rate and so on, it's very serious stuff. I was reading a stat the other day about we're approaching a point where a third of everyone will be obese, and the line shows, you know, a few more years, that's half, and that's across the spectrum. And it's not about anything but food choices and food amounts, right?
Right.
What is it nutritionally that that you're trying to do, obviously, to provide this appropriate meal for people and that maybe kids are not getting outside of the school?
You know, one of the things that I think our program is introducing the younger kids to, going back especially to the food insecure families, is, you know, our salad bars that I mentioned earlier that we have at all of our schools, we only offer fresh fruits and vegetables on our salad bars, and about 98% of what we serve on our salad bars comes from the state of California. And I feel like in some cases, at our salad bars is the only exposure that some of these kids are getting to fresh fruits and vegetables. So I feel like we're introducing them to fresh fruits and vegetables, to seasonally eating. We have, for a Harvest of the Month program right now, we're focusing on navel oranges. So we have navel oranges on our salad bars and also in our breakfast program. Next month in March, it's going to be kiwis. So we focus on something new every month, but we're really encouraging kids to eat something from the salad bar. They have to take something from the salad bar. And also we're introducing them to, you know, better quality proteins and trying to educate our district on why it's important that we're, you know, eating hormone and antibiotic free proteins. Mm-hmm. You know, all of our menu items are kid friendly. We're doing burgers and pizza and nachos and hot dogs, but we're doing them in the best way possible.
Really good. Very interesting. I'm eager to visit a school now.
Yes, please come have school lunch with us.
Where would I call for reservations?
You would call me at the food services office.
Very good. Brandy Dreibelbus, and what's your actual title?
Director of Food Services.
Director of Food Services for the Napa Valley Unified School District. And again, the program's called NOSH. So if you see that acronym, you'll know what's being talked about. This was really good. And I'm really happy you came in. And again, thanks for getting up early on a day you didn't have to.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Time for a break now here on KVON.